Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. The Dodgers season on the line. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now. My Herd hierarchy, top 10 teams in the league. There are a lot of good ones. There are a lot. I think you'll be surprised by a couple at the back end. Joy Taylor is joining me. That was a wildly entertaining football game last night.
It was great. I love Derrick Henry. He might be my favorite player in the league.
Yeah, he's different. He's a refrigerator. That's like if you were unpacking something, you made a big move with your family, and you had a moving truck, and a refrigerator fell out and went down the hill.
Just slid down the hill.
That's what he's like tackling. It's a runaway refrigerator.
Runs so, like, just straight. Once he breaks through the tackles, it is just straight up and down.
It's got a Forrest Gump feel to
like,
it.
Like, it's just, and he's gone. It's so great to watch.
So, at the end of the game, there's a moment. It's a 4th-and-1. Buffalo, I think the better team, is on the road. And instead of kicking a field goal to send it to overtime, they go for it. And I can't believe how many people are pushing back on that. Folks, there are times in life that you play it safe. With your retirement account, shipping glassware, raising your children, you do not play it safe on the road against a good football team. You go for it. Of course you go for it. I'm going to trust a coin flip over Josh Allen. I'm going to trust a kicker over Josh Allen. You have to understand the temperature of the room. You're going to get on a plane after that game and fly 2.5 hours back with 60 alpha males. You're going to start losing guys if you take your offense out for your worst athlete, your kicker. Special teams are backups. You keep your stars on the field. You don't go to backups. Four reasons. Number one, Brady Belichick built a legacy on going for it in these situations. When you have a big, tall quarterback, 4th-and-1, you go for it. Number two is, I'm not going to give the ball back to Derrick Henry. No, thank you. Number three is, you keep your best athletes on the field in crucial situations. And number four is, analytically, you go for it. 75% of the time, you get the first down. And I'd say it's even higher when you have a 6'6 quarterback. When you go on the road, you have to understand the temperature of the room. I talked to Ray Lewis, one of the great players in the history of football, once about this. When you go on the road, it's different. At home, you're coming to our place. But when you go on the road, it's all about mindset. You got to go steal something from in somebody else's place. And you go on the road, you're going to take more risks. You're going to be more aggressive. Statistically, the home team wins 60 to 65% in the NFL. So you, when you get on that plane and you're flying to a city, and it doesn't matter if you're Pete Carroll doing something, doesn't matter if you're Belichick, when you go on the road, you are more aggressive because you generally don't get that one close call on the road. You don't know the sight lines as well. You're not as comfortable in the hotel. You know what I mean? Like, nothing's quite as comfortable. So you got to flip the switch and you got to go, we're going to go super aggressive. You're going to take big risks. The other thing that never gets discussed, John Harbaugh earlier this year in September went for it, 4th-and-1. They were playing the Kansas City Chiefs. They went for it, they got it, and they won the game over Kansas City. And when they asked John Harbaugh after the game why he went for it, he said, well, because I got Lamar Jackson, and they got Patrick Mahomes. I'm not giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. Folks, there's about 7 or 8 skill players in the league. Forget quarterbacks. There's about 7 or 8 skill players in the league. I don't want to go to overtime with them. Tyreek Hill. DeAndre Hopkins, Derrick Henry, I can have the play perfectly defended. And they bust a 75-yard run. They're just certain guys like, I don't want to go to overtime with Aaron Rodgers. He can do stuff I can't defend. I don't want to go into overtime. When you go on the road, you're trying to win, not extend the game. You're trying to end it. And there's just there were so many reasons you go for it. And I thought, we all know this. We've talked about this ad nauseum. In 2021 in American sports, you can see it in baseball. You can see it, I mean, the Astros, the Dodgers. You can see it in basketball. The Lakers aggressive, get free agents. Brooklyn, aggressive wins. you're not trying to extend it. You're trying to end it. And I love what Sean McDermott, the head coach, said afterwards.
At the end of the day, I trust him, and I'll trust him again if we're in that situation again. So, I'll take Josh Allen, as you said, Sal, 10 times out of 10. We're this far from winning the game, and I owe that to my players. You know, I believe in my players. I believe in our quarterback. So I trust my guys. Obviously, we didn't get it done in this case, but I trust my players.
This is something that never gets discussed among the media, but it's constantly discussed in the league. McDermott said, I trust my guys. Who are his guys? His starters. Who are his guys? His 11 starters on offense and his 11 starters on defense. These are your star. You can't win in this league without star power. Belichick now can't win. Got to have star power. You got to trust your stars. And I'm the reason John Harbaugh went for it against Kansas City, because I got a great star, and I don't want to give it back to their star. And the reason you go for it in Buffalo, because I got a star quarterback who needs 7 inches, and I'm not giving it to their star. There's always been an understanding. This is something the media doesn't talk about. You are leading alpha males. They're millionaires. They're often walk into a room. The guys want to be them. The women are attracted. This is who you got. You got men. You're leading men. You don't go to them, guys, go for a tie. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. You got to be super aggressive in spots like that. Totally defend Buffalo. And I'll segue to this because I think it's an important thing. Is we talked about it this summer when the rumors were out there about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson leaving the Packers and the Seahawks. How much would you give up for like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? How much would you give up? And we're like, I don't know, 5 first round picks, 6? Folks, I was thinking about this morning. Is that another reason I would go for it for Buffalo is primarily I like Josh Allen. There are 12 quarterbacks in this league that I'm just always going to go for it with any reasonable situation. And going for it there was reasonable. There's 12 guys that I know, and it changes your franchise. You're going to give them complete trust in the biggest spots. Now, you got 32 teams. Some are big, some are short. Some are fast, some are slow. Some are old, some are young. But here's the 12 guys that I would always trust in the NFL. And I wrote a list this morning. Let me grab it. I wrote a list this morning. Here's the 12 guys I would always trust. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, and Deshaun Watson when he returns. The other 20, you're on your own. I don't trust them. These 12 teams should not be on the phone when Deshaun Watson comes back trying to move off their quarterback. If you can drive to the facility and drive to the stadium every Sunday, those are the guys I always roll with. I to a fault, I will go for it on fourth. The minute I get into their territory, I'm absolutely going for it. And sometimes even in mine, here I am at my own 39-yard line, fourth and a foot. I'm going to go for it. And I've said this before. That's kind of where we are in the NFL right now. It is such a quarterback league. Is that when you look at those quarterbacks, my takeaway is those are your Super Bowl teams. They have a different mindset than the other 20 teams in the NFL. Come on, they'd move off Kirk Cousins in Minnesota tomorrow. Carolina likes Sam Darnold, but he's probably not the future. Miami's been in multiple rumors with Deshaun Watson, so is Philadelphia. So another reason is, I think Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, I'm probably a year away from putting them in that group, but they don't have enough starts yet for me, and they don't have good enough offensive lines where I'd feel on a big fourth down. They'd get protection. They'd have help. But the league, it really comes down to this. Do I have a guy, a go-for-it guy? I think there's 12 teams in the league that do and 20 that do not.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
When you watched last night, what makes Josh Allen a star is you pretty much get the same Josh Allen win or lose every week. Baker Mayfield plays Thursday. He's beat up. I feel bad for him because he is beat up. His shoulder pops in and out. But my guess is he'll gut it out. I mean, the one thing about Baker, he's tough. He'll play. But, you know, I go on the internet, and now some Cleveland fans have put the pom-poms down, some Cleveland media, and are acknowledging he's not as good as his contemporaries. He's probably somewhere between 8th and 9th best quarterback in the AFC. And that's with Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow getting better fast. And, you know, I looked it up this morning. 52 games is a lot of games. We kind of know what you are after 52 games. Baker Mayfield has had – he's not consistent. It's all highs. It's all lows. He's funny. He's snarky. It's great throw. It's bad pick. He has had one three-game stretch in 52 games of sustained success, and it wasn't great. It was weeks 2 through 4 last year when he beat the lousy Bengals 4-11-1. He beat lousy Washington sub-500, and he beat lousy Dallas 6-10. That's it. In those games, he threw for 540 yards total. On average, 17 to 25, 180 yards. That is it. Three losing teams. If you go to his contemporary, I went to Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert. Not only have each of them had multiple three-game stretches of excellence, but their stretches are incredible. Mahomes had a seven-game stretch where he averaged 344 yards passing. Lamar had a four-game stretch where he had 13 TDs, no picks, 5 rushing touchdowns, and a completion percentage of 76%. Josh Allen, right now, 3 through 6, he's got right now a 4-game stretch. He's completing 70% of his throws, throwing for 320 yards and a passer rating of 120. Justin Herbert's a baby. He's played 20 games, quarterback 20 games. He's had multiple 3-game stretches where he's been better than Baker's 1 3-game stretch. Justin Herbert, 11 TDs, no picks during his stretch. So these are your contemporaries. These are the guys you got to age with. They've all had multiple 3 and 4-game stretches of excellence, a month straight. Josh Allen lost last night, but he was excellent. Baker's had one last year. Lousy Cincinnati, lousy Dallas, and a Washington team that finished sub-500. And in those games, he'd throw for 180 yards. And what's troubling is that he has the best-rated offensive line in the league and the best-rated running back tandem. Now Kareem Hunt's gone, but that's called like the NFL. Nobody has the greatest blank, blank, blank every year. So this is all you can defend. It's about sustained success. The great quarterbacks, not saying Troy Aikman didn't have a bad game. Brady gets a stinker every year. He had that one in Chicago last year. Nobody's saying that's not part of the game. Nobody plays great for 16 weeks. But you can't be up, down, up, down. That's not a franchise quarterback. Certainly one I'm not going to pay a lot of money to. So that's why Thursday's game for Baker Mayfield is massive. Denver's not very good, but you got to win that game or you're sub 500. The Bengals are better than they've been in a decade. Baltimore's as good as they've been in a decade. And even Pittsburgh now, although they're awful to watch and incredibly boring, is now winning football games.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the interesting things about Josh Allen's career, grew up in a small town in California. No Pac-12 school offered him. Fresno State didn't offer him. In fact, when people would ask him where his hometown was, he'd put Fresno down because it was the closest big city. Fresno State didn't offer him. I understand people not offering him out of high school because he was only 6'1 and really skinny. But boys have growth spurts at like, you know, somewhere between 16 and 20. Out of junior college, He was 6'6 and 215. Athletic with a really big arm. One Division I program. One Wyoming offered him a scholarship. I find that fascinating. Listen, because of YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, if you're talented, you're going to hit it. Nobody is talented in America that doesn't succeed. If you're not succeeding, you're not as talented as you think. They'll find you. You can be poor. You can be in the middle of nowhere. You can still do YouTube. You can still be funny on Twitter. You can still do Instagram, Snapchat, have your stories. You're fine. And in football, we have 130 programs. Each carry three quarterbacks. Most carry four. And one program, he sent out hundreds upon hundreds of letters, hundreds of highlight tapes. His junior, a junior college took him, and they said, it was weird, said the coach. I was reading it this morning. He said, he's putting up ungodly numbers. He's a massive athletic kid. He goes, nobody answered except Wyoming. And it's he may be the last great sleeper in football in America. Like, they don't even exist anymore. Like, some guys are late bloomers. You get it. Like, he had a growth spurt a little later. But the fact that a 6'6 kid in California with a big arm and athletic and put up ungodly numbers in junior college and nobody was interested. I'm fascinated by that. Utah State, you know, Oregon State, Washington State, nobody. I find that utterly fascinating. Well, he's from a small town. Folks, New York City does not produce high school football stars. Our high school football stars and college stars all come from small to mid-sized cities. That's not where you get high school players in Philadelphia, Boston, and New York. You get them in Midland, Texas. Well, secondly, well, he played a bunch of sports, so he didn't go to, the camps, the quarterback camps. All right. But that's only like a 15-year phenomenon, right? Like, before that, you didn't get quarterbacks at those camps. So not every kid goes to a camp. I guess open your email and watch the tapes if you're a coach. Because 6'6 Josh Allen with gigantic numbers in junior college, one team offered him. It's like he's the last sleeper prospect in American football. Because that story doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. I got out of high school. He was 6'1". 6'6"? Running around? All right, NBA season starts tonight in earnest. And in the history of the NBA, this is just history, there's about five teams that can win a championship. Maybe six tops. And so here's my very small, very, very small NBA championship pyramid. I would put Milwaukee at the top. I would put the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets right beneath them. Then I would put the Clippers. I do think Kawhi Leonard comes back at the end of the regular season. I do Kawhi Leonard. I do the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. Now, I do think both the Dallas Mavericks and the Philadelphia 76ers feel like, to me, if they made a big trade, if Dallas went for it and maybe got a CJ McCollum or somebody with Portland, made a big trade, Or if Philadelphia bails on Simmons, they have to eventually, and they could engineer a trade. So I think Dallas and Philadelphia are teams to keep your eyes on. I think Utah's really good. Denver's really good. I just question if they're championship level. But I would say this. This feels like, to me, with this kind of Laker group, this is the last chance to win a championship. First of all, Westbrook doesn't play with anybody well for long, even if it kind of works. Kind of a combustible player, his style. Number two is LeBron's getting older, and he's more injured. Number three is, if you look at Anthony Davis's last 3 years, he's kind of declining. Four, this is not an easy roster to coach. LeBron's not easy to coach. Westbrook's not easy to coach. AD's not always motivated and ready to play. I think it's there's a lot of turbulence. This could be the last kind of run for Frank Vogel. I also think it's the oldest roster. I don't think that. I know that in the NBA by a long shot. So, but I do think the one thing the Lakers have, and this is how business works, is they don't have a grenade factor. They have a very low implosion possibility. If you look around the NBA right now, outside of Milwaukee Every other good team has got an issue. The Nets got the Kyrie situation. A mess. Philadelphia's good. Mess with Ben Simmons. Clippers are really, really talented. You don't know what you're getting with Kawhi. If he comes back with five games to play in the regular season, that's not good enough. The Warriors. I haven't seen Klay Thompson play in 2 years. Draymond's very valuable, but offensively there's limitations. And is James Wiseman going to pop? Yeah, I don't think he feels like a championship player. So you start looking around the NBA, and one of the Lakers' greatest strengths is that, you know, LeBron teams don't generally implode. So they'll be good. Westbrook for a year will be good. AD off a bad season should be better and healthier. I just feel like sometimes when your greatest strength is, we're not going to implode. It's going to be a battle of attrition. We're not going to implode. I think that's what the Lakers really have going for them. I don't think it's the easiest team to coach. I think AD's declining. I think Westbrook is a hard hang over time. I think the bench could be an issue. They're absurdly old. In fact, I think they're the oldest NBA roster ever. I think I'm right on that. But Milwaukee's kind of grenade-free. Milwaukee doesn't look like there's going to be any issue. So if I'm guessing today, I would say Lakers, Bucks in the NBA Finals. I do think, as I've said with Brooklyn, I think Brooklyn could win the NBA championship with KD and Harden. I would just move on from Kyrie Irving. If I could get two bench players, I'd be fine with it. I think the Clippers have a chance to be interesting. I think Denver's got a chance to be interesting, but Jokic is a bad defensive player. Utah and Denver will be good in the regular season. I don't think the West is as good as it's been in the last decade. So Utah and Denver could have really glossy regular season records. I don't know if I see. Utah has the same problem. They don't have a guy that can defend on the wing, a LeBron James. It's just a problem.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I'm going to put the Raiders in there because I think they're very viable offensively, and it's mostly for Derek Carr, who's already on his fifth coach now with the Raiders. He's second most passing yards in the NFL. He has multiple touchdown passes in every Raider game this year, every win for them. The offensive line has regressed. They're swimming in chaos. They're not brilliantly run or managed or coached. And here are the Raiders in a tough division at 4-2. Now, they don't take the ball away at all. They got three takeaways against Denver. They had three all season. So it's a very limited team that has to win only one way, a shootout. But they deserve recognition, Raiders at 10.
Number 9.
The Titans. They're boring. They do it a different way. But let's be honest. Outside of an overtime loss to the Jets, they'd be on a five-game winning streak. The Bills have a great pass rush. They didn't allow a single sack last night. And Ryan Tannehill may put you to sleep, but it's the ninth game he's come back in the fourth quarter to win. By the way, that's the most in the NFL in that span. So the reality is, since he's become a Titan, he's been a very good late-game quarterback. And Derrick Henry's the best running back by a mile. I think they're well coached. They don't have the offensive firepower. They're not going to be as flashy as Kansas City. They're not controversial like a Cleveland. They're a really well-coached football team that can go toe-to-toe physically with every team in this league. They're number 9.
Number 8.
I don't know what to do with Green Bay because I don't think they're playing great football. And this is every single year with Matt LaFleur, they've started 5-1, and they just beat the Bears, and they always beat the Bears. I feel they're very dependent on one wide receiver, Devontae Adams. I will say this, the Packers defense, 16 straight games, they're not going to allow a 300-yard passer. I think they're pretty good on the back end. They have one of the great corners in the game that'll be coming back, Jaire Alexander. It's a good football team. I don't think they're playing brilliant football right now. It feels like it's dependent on Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Adams, but I put them at 8.
Number 7.
Here comes Kansas City. They are averaging 3.1 points per drive. What does that tell you? They don't go 3 and out. Most dangerous offense in the league. They've got to end the turnovers. Now, here's the good news. They're not punting, so the offense is still fine when they don't turn it over. They've had 10 punts this year. That's bizarre. It's the fewest in the NFL. Here's the downside why I only put him seven. They're allowing 7 yards a play. It's just hard to win in a quarterback league when you're almost giving up a first down every play. So it's a fireworks show. They cut down on the turnovers. They're going to end up winning this division.
Number six.
Tampa Bay. I think they'll be higher than this in a month, but three of their top four secondary players are out. They're the most penalized team, but they're number one in passing. They're going to have three receivers over 1,000 yards. They have the greatest quarterback of all time. And again, this week, they're about five or six in the league. I think in a month, they're probably top three. Tampa Bay at number six.
Number five.
But I'll give Dallas, even though Dallas lost to them, I think this morning, Dallas is the better team. They lead the NFL in yards per play, 6.6. They've outgamed every opponent, including Tampa Bay this year. They have only team in the league that's 6-0 against the spread. What does that tell you? They're still undervalued by everybody around the league. Vegas doesn't want you to bet the Cowboys, the most popular team in America, and go 6-0. That's the team they don't want to be 0-6 on. This defense is fast. I think they have the best playmaking corner in the league. I thought tight end was an issue. It's not. It's become very productive. As long as they're healthy on the offensive line, this is as good and productive an offense outside of maybe Kansas City as the league has.
Number four.
I'll give it to the Rams because I think they're overall a better defense than Dallas, but four of their five wins have come against playoff teams last year. So they have played a really tough schedule, and they're winning games. And in 18 straight games, over 300 yards offense. So I think they're brilliantly coached. Matt Stafford gives them big play potential. You know, their offensive line always feels old to me, but every time I go to PFF, it's rated in the top four. Cam Akers is gone, but Sony Michel and Henderson have been excellent replacements. So Michelle comes from somewhere else. Henderson was already on the roster. They look great this past weekend. There's no reason why they can't win the NFC. There's nothing standing in their way. They've got a pass rush. They got a quarterback. They're explosive. They can own the clock. They lead at half. They've never lost under McVay.
Number three.
But I'd give the Ravens a slight edge because I think they're so electric at quarterback. They're on a five-game winning streak. They're only lost to the Raiders. That's another reason I put the Raiders in the poll. They'd be the number one AFC seed right now. You know, it comes down to this with Lamar Jackson. He's won 10 of 11 starts. He's won 85% of his games. Whether you like, they're not always pretty. I mean, against the Colts, they were bad first half. They have bad quarters. You know, very much, Lamar's very much a rhythm player. And when he's not in a rhythm, he'll have a bad half or a bad series or a bad quarter. But they are so electric and so dynamic. And I'm not sure there's a roster in the NFL where guys are closer. I got Baltimore at three.
Number two.
I'm going to move Buffalo down one spot. By the way, they had more yards, more plays, more first downs, more time of possessions than the Titans. They came a banana peel on a slip by Josh Allen from beating a good football team. I'm not going to drop them more than one spot. This is still an excellent football team. 75% of the time, maybe 95% with Josh Allen, you're going to get a first down on that play. He slipped. I'm not going to drop him. Bills number two.
Number one.
What do you want me to do with Arizona? You know the thing I like about Arizona? We pay all this attention to Kyler Murray, and we should, but it's not just that he's dynamic. He's completing 74% of his passes. So they've got veteran leadership. They can get you short yardage. They can run the football. They protect the quarterback. They get to your quarterback. I think we're spending so much time saying it's all about Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, that's great. That's the icing. But the cake is really good here. They protect it. They run it. They get after your quarterback. I really like what Steve Keim did. J.J. Watt. The going out and getting, you know, Matt Prater, like veteran presence on special teams, offense, defense. Right now, I got to tell you something. They are a Hail Mary away from beating Cleveland 37-7 in Cleveland. That Hail Mary is you know, you start to think, oh, that game's pretty competitive. It wasn't competitive, like at all, and Cleveland's good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, he's the founder of the Quarterback Summit, a program that helps quarterbacks reach their potential, and he is instrumental in the Josh Allen story from, I still think it's remarkable that Josh Allen was 6'6". It was a string bean out of junior college. He put up ungodly numbers. He was 6'6". He was athletic. and he sent out hundreds of tapes and video and emails, and Wyoming's the only one that offered. And so I've got to ask Jordan Palmer, because I find that story fascinating. Not even Fresno State, right around the corner, offered him. And Jordan Palmer, who was at that game last night, by the way, in Nashville, joins us live. So let me just, because you are instrumental in the story for Josh Allen, tell me the first time you heard of him or saw him, Josh Allen.
It was after he had this crazy year. I think it was his sophomore year, because he got to Wyoming and broke his collarbone. Didn't really play that year. And the next year, kind of the legend of Josh Allen started to grow. This giant human throwing balls all over the field and jumping over people. He wasn't completing a lot of balls, and they didn't win a championship. But he was making so many highlight plays, and so I talked to a lot of folks in the agent community and the draft community and analysts and so to speak. And so I just kept hearing murmurs about this guy, and I invited him out to one of my camps. He was a counselor with Sam Darnold, Jarrett Stidham that weekend. And I got a chance to see a big, strong guy with a big arm throw it hard, but I've seen a lot of those guys before. That's not unique. And in my camps, it's not like you can judge somebody's running ability. But I think what blew me away was just how cool he was. And I know that sounds cheesy and cliche, and he's a buddy, so yeah, he's cool. But no, he's just that funny, and he's a magnet. And I go, man, he's got all these pieces. And I had a blast watching him that following, really 2 years, and then the maturation and watching him elevate to being one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now has been a blast.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting with these young guys. We always look at their arm and this and that, and you talk about cool. Like, I think one of Joe Burrow and Dak are two guys that I think the cool thing matters. Like, I would want to play alongside Joe Burrow. I'd want to play alongside Dak. I mean, are there guys that you've seen through the years, they're just not a good hang? They just don't have that thing. They have talent. Like, is the cool thing, the alpha thing, a guy's guy? Like, Brady's very much a guy's guy thing. He'll chug beer with the best of them. Like, is that a real thing when you have these young guys? Because, by the way, Justin Herbert's very quiet. Maybe he's not a good hang.
Well, there's not one way to do it, right? You don't have to have a specific type of personality or a specific, you know, brand of comedy. But I will say there are guys, and a mutual friend of ours, Trent Dilfer, always calls them DQs, dude qualities. You got to be a dude. You got to be likable and approachable. And there's not one way to do it, but you're spot on. And there's so many different things that a quarterback has to do that the media doesn't see, that the fans don't see, that doesn't show up in a fantasy football season. It's the stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, you mentioned Joe Burrow, and I think back to when he was drafted by the Bengals, the peak of COVID, everything was shut down, no NFL offseason. And they took him number one, and they basically named him the starter. But he had to win that team over via Zoom. and I heard stories about guys on the team who go, they could tell that this was a guy via Zoom. And so you've got to be able to do that. And I think the best quarterbacks, if you really actually filtered it down, one of the commonalities is that they were really likable. Guys trusted him. O-line wanted to block for him. Receivers wanted to get an extra rep for him. The defense wanted to get off the field for him. And the coaching staffs wanted to work with him and develop him. And so I think it's a common trait. If you created a player on Madden, you know, coolness and personality isn't one of those attributes. But when you're drafting a quarterback, and when you're offering a quarterback to come to your college, and when you're going to pay a quarterback, they better be maxed out in that attribute category.
Mahomes throwing a lot of picks this year. Why?
Well, I think the majority of your listeners have been following Mahomes' career for 3 or 4 years now. I was fortunate enough to watch him play a lot in college.
Yep.
And what I'm seeing right now, he's playing the situation he's in where protection's not like what it used to be, and he's running around a little bit more. That was Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Him and they ran around and had to make it happen. He didn't take three in a hitch and throw the ball on time. And they had to score every drive. They couldn't stop anybody. So I'm seeing more Texas Tech, Patrick. The problem is he's had so much success. I think he's just forcing it every now and then, making some spectacular plays, and just not quite getting away with some of the plays that he has in the past. But I'll tell you this, I have no concerns over Patrick Mahomes about developing bad habits or getting worse or slumping up, nothing. This is just a patch, a little rough patch that they're going through. And I think, just as a football fan, I think it is great for the NFL if Kansas City has to be a wild card this year, because they're a team that could totally win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And can totally go on a run. They're just probably not going to end up with the number one or number two seed.
Yeah. By the way, Trevor Lawrence, I am kind of addicted to Jacksonville Jaguars football. I'll never say that the rest of my life, but I am. I watched every snap of Miami and the Jags. And I got to tell you, he had a lot of turnovers first couple of weeks, and you do this for a living, but man, that dude has got it. He doesn't get very good protection in Jacksonville. They got to shore up that offensive line. But I got to tell you, Jordan, he has a chance to be amazing. That's what I see.
He does. The trajectory that he's on, and you just think about the chaos that this young man's dealing with right now with all the Urban Meyer stuff and this offseason, and he has just handled himself so well.
Yes.
Even having to compete, and I was on your show, he missed half the reps this offseason because they gave half of them to Gardner Minshew and the guy that they traded. And so he didn't get to develop quite as much as he could have, and you know, some turnovers early. And what we're seeing outside of the arm talent and the ability, which is, it's well documented, is that you can throw this guy into any situation and be pretty darn sure of what the product's going to look like.
Yeah.
As a true freshman winning a national championship, taking over for, you know, Deshaun Watson's legendary, you know, seasons at Clemson. And for that to not be a big deal, just came in and won one. And then for this year, all the stuff going on, that roster has a lot left to be desired. They've got a lot of work to do across the board on that roster. It doesn't really faze him. He's just kind of going through his progressions, making the plays that are there to be made, putting the ball in play, which is so important for these young guys to do, to not try and make plays, but to just put the ball in play, take what they give you. And I just continue to see him every single week make fewer and fewer poor decisions.
Yep.
And we all know what he can do when he throws it.
Finally, the kid, the Desmond Ridder quarterback, many now believe is going to be the first quarterback taken. You're the guy that sees it first and knows him first. Tell us about him. What should we look for in 2 minutes?
Well, you know what I love when I'm evaluating quarterbacks? Confidence and maturity. I talk about it all the time. This guy is going to be, you know, upper echelon of guys that I've been around at this age. From those two perspectives, confidence wise, I think he believes, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I think he believes that he's the best player in the country. And then from a maturity standpoint, he's, you know, he entered this season, I think 30-4 or something like that. He's going to end up being second or third winningest college quarterback in the history of college football.
Wow.
Quietly. But these moments at Indiana is a big game for Cincinnati. At Notre Dame's a big game for Cincinnati. And he's played his best ball on those stages. And I think from a development standpoint, he's big, he's fast, he's smart, he's committed. And I work with him in the season. He's committed on a level that most college guys aren't committed to the details. And I think that as he finishes this season and heads into the NFL, these teams are going to fall in love with not just his resume, but they're going to fall in love with the trajectory and the potential that he has.
Desmond Ridder, Cincinnati. All right, my man, Jordan Palmer, great seeing you on a Tuesday. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.